Blog Talk Radio.
Thou hypocrite,
cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. As you can see, the Sermon on the Mount is very practical in its wisdom. And this, of course, would not meet the formal standards of temporary treatise on ethics. But what we have here is wisdom, spiritual wisdom for everyday life. The Sermon on the Mount and its teachings are designed to meet practical needs. There is nothing abstract philosophically about the information that we are given in this sermon. The everyday needs or mass or what people need every day in order to conduct their lives is addressed here by Jesus. That is the wisdom that is mandatory and necessary. If one is to maintain or have a sense of well-being toward himself or herself, if one is to have a relationship with God that is filled with his presence, and if one is to have a relationship with others that is satisfying and that brings satisfaction to life, that is the focus here. And if you would really think about what the Jesus is saying to us, he is giving to us a prescription for behavioral medicine, very practical behavioral medicine, so that we can live lives that are fruitful and that are filled with satisfaction and peace. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to verse 35 once again. And sandwiched between verse 35 and 37 is verse 36, of course. But please listen carefully to verse 35. But love ye your enemies. Now, the word love, agapete, is given to us at the beginning of the sentence. I want you to note the syntax. And so it is stated in the imperative. It is vital that one is conscious of the necessity to love. This word does not mean like, because we don't necessarily like many people, but love goes beyond like. And there is nothing in this word love about an emotional commitment. Let me state that at the beginning. Here it is an attitude, a profound attitude. So he says, love ye your enemies. He makes it very particular because he is stressing what the life or what one's life needs to be towards the enemy. Not that we repay or reciprocate an enemy for his intense dislike or hostility toward us, because hostility will always breed hostility and bitterness, and it will increase anger. And so life is going to be choked off, both in the spiritual heart, as it were, and there's a high price to pay for not or for the refusal to love on the terms that Jesus has elucidated for us here. Do good. Practice good. Here again, he is talking about an attitude that must govern our action. An attitude that keeps us healthy, so that we can have rich and fulfilling lives. And lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So the conduct of God himself is our model. God is our model. We are to model our behavior and our actions upon the character of God. Next verse, verse 36. Be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, mercy, for our study this morning, is going to be defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is in one's power to punish or harm. Again, there must be that refusal on our part to go after our pound of flesh. There must be that refusal to stay judgment. But the temptation, the very real temptation, practical terms where we live on the everyday level, is to want to go ahead and reciprocate harm or disingenuous behavior toward ourselves so as to make it even or to get one up on the enemy. But we have to keep in mind that when we have this attitude of revenge mode, we are really harming ourselves in a very intense manner. We are not following God's ethical mandate that he has set forth. We are not following the divine model that is designed to keep us safe and healthy and to maintain homeostasis, spiritual homeostasis in our lives. We are not following the divine mandate. And when we overstep that boundary, which in the scripture is called transgression, then we move into an area where we can no longer have for ourselves the divine protection, because now we have overstepped the boundary that God has set for us, and we enter territory because now we want to follow our hostile intentions. And let me say that this is very critical, because our behavior not only affects us, but others within our periphery. And people today, many people lack self-control. And so in their rage and hostility, they go out and they pick up weapons and they harm others, the lives of others, because of unchecked hostility. Or they expose other persons on the internet in a very, very cruel manner. And some children, some young people have even taken their lives over this type of cyberbullying. And it's very, very frightening. People release pictures of others with whom they've had relationships in the past, when these persons have moved on to another relationship, in order to expose and to do harm. This is very, very serious this morning. And there's a painstaking study on our behalf. But I want you to see something that the ASU says. Be you merciful, as your Father is also merciful. He goes on in verse 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. The word judge in verse 37 is given to us in the present imperative. And so here the nature of our discussion or our thinking or what it should be, is set up for us. The present imperative is a command. It is a curt command that is given in order to stay a behavior. That is to leave it off, to cut it off, to put it away. Do it now, in the present tense. And so it is given in that manner as a means of protection. Okay, the word judge also here means to divide. It means to give one's opinion in a matter, in a private matter, to give one's opinion. The word judge also is the word from which we get our English word crisis, C-R-I-S-I-S. The Greek word is spelled K-R-I-S-I-S. And so when the New Testament speaks of crisis or judgment, it is a transliteration of that word crisis, to deliver one over into crisis. That's the literal meaning of judgment. But for our purposes here, the word judge means to divide, to give one's opinion about a matter. So, and you shall not be judged. Now, notice the language and the syntax and how the sentence is structured. Because what those who judge do not get, because of their hostility and their blindness, is the fact that the hostile judgment that one renders in a case will be reciprocated back to that individual. You see, the individual who judges is intimately involved in the judgment he or she meets out. And just think about persons who are given to this type of behavior and what they are reaping for themselves or will reap for themselves over time. And if one goes about indiscriminately meeting out judgment on others, just think now what this will do or does to a life. The life becomes weighed down under the weight, under the intense weight and burden of judgment upon others that has been summarily reciprocated back unto the one who judges. And so the spiritual condition is very intense, and it is very difficult to live with an individual who is under the weight or who lives under this type of weight without understanding that he or she has constructed this prison of dividing or weighing matters that do not properly belong to them. They have passed, and the language goes on, which it becomes very frightening, because then it moves on, judge not, and you shall not be judged, condemn not. And the word not here is a particle of negation. Judge not and you shall not be judged is an emphatic future negative. It is a strong negation. And so, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. All right. So, we move from judge not to condemn not. And condemn not means do not pass sentence on another. So we move, the movement is from judging, that is to give one's opinion in a matter that does not properly belong for the individual to judge, he or she bears the weight of that judgment. And within the spiritual life changes. Spiritual life becomes filled with the toxin of negative judgment. And so it is impossible to have a healthy spiritual life if one is given to this type of thinking. Paul talks about those who blaspheme, and I know it's an old word. Blaspheme means to slander. It means to speak the speak against the character of an individual. Either God, to blaspheme God, or to blaspheme others or mankind. See, when we look at theology, at New Testament theology, in a practical manner, because it is very practical, we see what happens to behavior. That is, individuals are changed when they impose negative behavioral attitudes upon others. There is a reciprocity in that these persons receive back what they have given out. It is inescapable. Now, one may seek to map the reciprocity of these very terrible spiritual actions that are done toward others because in some manner, but these things cannot be escaped, and one can look into the eyes of individuals and see how they have gone about to strip away life from their eyes, well-being, sense of well-being from their lives. No matter what they do, they cannot escape what they have done tragically, both to themselves and what they have attempted to do to the lives of others. There is no escape. And so to condemn is to pass sentence. And one can have mental attitude sin that others do not see or even believe that is there. But the mental attitude sin will tell on itself over time, because it strips away capacity for life or to live a life that is fruitful. Yes, one may have food, but the taste disappears. One may have money, but the satisfaction in life disappears. One may have even a physical sexual relationship, but the intimacy is gone. Everything disappears. The only thing that is left is the shell, is the facade of life. The only thing that's left is the mask. Now, I know one person got very upset when I talked about the book, Thackeray's book, Vanity Fair. And in Vanity Fair, he talks about highly impeachable conduct in society. And he talks about those with no backs to their heads. And one individual was extremely exercised with me because I brought up this illustration in order to make a point about what does not have to be. But you see, people who have been very critical and who have judged others and who have condemned others become very fragile when they believe that now you are stepping on the sacred ground of who they are and their actions. And so that sensitivity is there, that defensiveness has been set in place in order to protect the ego structure. Now, the ego structure becomes very weak or weakened through the abuse of others. And I know in Western culture, we're not given to understanding that the world is built on relationships and reciprocity, and that our actions do come back to us. Some people call it karmic, or they say what goes around comes around. This is true. And the actions, the verbal actions, the mental attitudes, sin actions that persons have sent forth will come back. They will come back because God has so designed and structured the cosmic system, that he wants us to be aware that where humans may not execute appropriate actions toward a particular attitude or behavior, then God does. God does. God sees to it that whatsoever a man sows, man or woman sows, that shall he also reap. So then Jesus says in verse 37, forgive and you shall be forgiven. See, there is a way out. There is a release that God gives. And notice, he doesn't say repent. And some people have said repent, or metanoia means to feel sorry for one's sin. That is not the meaning of metanoia at all. Metanoia means to have a radical change of mind. It means to change one's attitude or direction. That is the meaning of metanoia. There's nothing, it has nothing to do with emotions. Now, when one changes one's attitude, there will be emotions that accompany that change. But the attitude comes first. The attitude must be set in place first. That is the appropriate attitude. So forgive. Aphemē, that is to send off from one. That is to release others from a debt that can never be repaid. That is the biblical meaning of the word forgive. It means to release or others from a debt or debts that can never be repaid. Because if we do not forgive, then we will not be forgiven by God. If we forgive, then we will be forgiven. The reciprocity, or the principle of reciprocity, is set in place for us. This makes in our lives attractive to ourselves and to others. These principles are very powerful and influence who we are as persons, both now and in the future. We can change the direction of our lives. We can change our mental attitude so that we no longer judge or divide or discriminate in ways that are very destructive both to others and ourselves and our relationship with God. We can make that change. God will give us the power to do so. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will meet with you next time on the Matt Call.